Greetings. I hope this message finds you well. You know, last week we spent some time in Romans chapter 8. It is one of the key chapters about the Holy Spirit, and its main theme is about freedom. It begins with the being set free from the penalty of sin, free from condemnation, of being totally liberated. It then continues on with the Holy Spirit. With the Holy Spirit, we have a new mindset. By being led by the Spirit, we are free from death, and have a life that brings life and peace. In verses 10 to 12, Paul reminds us of chapter 8 of the freedom we are given by Christ being in us. In Romans chapter 8, verses 10 to 11, it says, "But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you." And then we continue on in Romans chapter 8, and we get down to verse 17. And here Paul hits us with a very sobering reality check. Starting in that verse 17, he says, "Now, if we are children, then we are heirs." Well, that's good news. We're heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ. And then he says, "If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory." Verse 18, he says, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." Paul, as many others who have come after him, have suffered beyond what most of us could probably handle. Yet he says that these sufferings are not even worth comparing to what is ahead. You know, when we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 27, Paul recounts how he has been shipwrecked, beaten, stoned, imprisoned, that he was often near death. And since the life of Paul, there have been many more who have had to suffer immensely. Justin's Book of Martyrs names a few, and the horrible agony and the suffering that they endured. Some were hung and drawn and quartered, burned at the stake. Yet Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, he says, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." Paul and the many others understood that what they were going through was nothing but a drop of water in a vast ocean in comparison to the tremendous glory that awaited them and him, and of course, for us. Bottom line, he was writing that these sufferings are nothing in comparison to what is waiting for us, that glory awaits us, and it is far greater than we can imagine. What is glory like? God's word gives us some glimpses. We know that the universe will be totally transformed. In Revelation 21, verse 1, it says, "Then when I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth was passed away, and there was no longer any sea." So a totally new creation, basically. And then in Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 to 21, it says, "Our bodies are going to be transformed." It says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body." You know, one of C.S. Lewis's greatest sermons was titled "The Weight of Glory." It was given in Oxford in June of 1941. And in that sermon, he summarized five key promises that we have all been given. One is that we shall be like Christ. The second is that we shall be with Christ. The second is that we shall be like him, that we shall have glory, that we shall be feasted, and that we will have an official position within the universe. And when Jesus was preaching about the kingdom and who will be in it, he described that we would be like the sun. In Matthew 13:43, Christ says, "Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father." To Paul, this hope of glory was real, a vivid vision and a hope so strong he could push past the sufferings of the present. Later in the book of the same title of his sermon, C.S. Lewis wrote, "Indeed, if we consider the unblushing promises of reward and the staggering nature of the rewards promised in the Gospels, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. It's sort of like an ignorant child who wants to keep on making mud pies in a slum because he just can't imagine what it is meant by the offer of being able to go on a vacation by the sea. This hope, this glory that Paul writes about is so strong and compelling, so powerful that in the next few verses he describes how even the creation groans for it, that believers groan for it, and that even the Holy Spirit intercedes and helps us believers with his groans for them, or for us. The first of these, the creation in its groaning, are in verses 19 to 21 of Romans chapter 8. "For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself would be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God." The creation is waiting to be liberated from the curse that was placed on it when mankind sinned. Genesis 3, just as a reminder, Genesis 3:17-19, God said to Adam, "Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it where you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return." The creation became a suffering creation with decay and death. And as we can testify today, man over the millennia has not made it better, but made it worse. At the time of writing of the book of Romans, the oceans were not polluted with plastic or covered in oil from a damaged tanker. The skies were not filled with smog and pollution. The earth was not being stripped wide open to get coal so that the smoke would fill what was at one time beautiful clean air, and now filled with carbon monoxide and toxic gases. Prior to the fall of man, when the earth was given to Adam as the perfect place to live, there was no fear of man or violence in the animal world. There were no hurricanes destroying people's homes, no droughts, no tornadoes, no earthquakes or floods. Mankind since then, though, has abused what God has created for us. And yet the creation groans for its liberty. It desperately wants to be delivered. Paul describes this as a woman who is in labor and about to give birth. In Romans 8:20-22, he says, "For the creation was subject to frustration, not by its choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as it is, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time." Just think what it will be like. The glory of a new creation. Creation as God has always wanted us to enjoy. Clean air, pure water, majestic scenery, abundance of food without chemicals, peace amongst all of creation, no fear in all of life. It is a groan for glory. And just as creation groans, Paul writes that Christians groan as well. In verse 23 of Romans 8, it says, "Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies." What we groan for is the completion of becoming adopted sons and daughters by the redemption of our bodies. 2 Corinthians 5:2, it says, "Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling." And earlier in the book of Romans, in chapter 7, verse 24, Paul writes, "What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death?" Our lives are filled with groans. We face trials daily. In our prayers, we plead, "Your kingdom come." We groan when we see others, especially family members and friends, wasting their lives in pursuit of worldly pursuits and pleasure. We groan when we bereave, when we are disappointed, when we are depressed, when we are in sorrow, when we are in physical and mental pain. We groan because we feel limited in our abilities. Jesus groaned himself even when he was here in, as a human. He groaned in the spirit when he approached the tomb of Lazarus. He groaned because of the ravages that sin had had on that believing family. We also groan, though, for positive reasons. We groan because we have the fruits of the Spirit. Going back to Romans 8:23, it says, "Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, groan inwardly as we eagerly await for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies." We wait eagerly for deliverance. We have received the down payment or first installment of the heritage God has prepared for us. He has done it by the Holy Spirit. The peace we received when we experienced the forgiveness of our sins, the power God gives us to get through difficult circumstances, is that power that allows us to have hope, to look forward into the glories that are ahead. I repeat, what are these glories that we can look forward to? We can look forward to that we shall be with Christ, that we shall be like him, that we shall have glory, that we shall be feasted, and we will have an official position within the universe. Paul describes our hope for glory further in verses 24 and 25. He says, "For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But we hope for what we do not yet have, and we wait for it patiently. We wait with patience and perseverance for the supreme joys that God has in store for us." So we've covered the fact that the creation groans, we groan ourselves as believers for the eternal life and the future that is ahead of us. And interestingly enough, our helper, the Holy Spirit who is in us, also groans for us. In Romans chapter 8, 26 to 27, it says, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God." You know, I think we've all experienced that there are times when we may find it difficult to pray or what to pray for. Or we are so distracted by some emergency or catastrophe, we hardly bring God into the picture. But as it says in this verse, the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. He intercedes, helps when we are at the most in need. The Holy Spirit can express things for us we want to say, but for some reason we just can't articulate. Our hearts sometimes are so full of grief, our anxiety, our minds are sometimes depressed, but the Holy Spirit says those things that we want to say to God, our Father in heaven, but for some reason we just cannot speak. How amazing it is that in actual fact we have two intercessors. Jesus Christ is our intercessor at the right hand of God the Father, who intercedes for our sins. And this is recorded in Romans 8, verse 34. He says, "Who then is the one who condemns? No one. We are free from condemnation. Christ, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. And we have one in our hearts, interceding for us as well, the Holy Spirit." We groan because we live in a fallen world. The creation groans as it knows what a perfect creation is like and looks forward to the future. But we are not alone in our groaning, as the Holy Spirit is interceding and advocating on our behalf. But the coming glory, although beyond our comprehension, is so much more than we can imagine. When we face struggles, hardship, when we are being attacked by trials and challenges, we are to remember, we should be reminded, we are God's children, and he wants us to share in his glory. And although at sometimes we feel like David did, when he wrote in Psalm 6, verse 6, "I am worn out from my groaning." Let us go back to Romans chapter 8 and reread it and be reminded that we have been freed from condemnation, free to share in God's glory, a future unimaginable, it is so great and filled with glory. Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 7, summarizes this all very beautifully. He says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this hope, this glory we are going to be able to share with you as your sons and daughters. And so just to close with a brief prayer, Father, may we fix our eyes on the future, that as we, along with the creation, groan for the glories ahead, we may not be discouraged, but realize the tremendous future that you have planned for us, that we, as your sons and daughters, helped by the Helper, the Holy Spirit, may enjoy the freedoms you have given us by your grace. Help us as we groan, but may we keep our eyes fixed on you and the plans that you have for us. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.